Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. And we start off with our launch of a brand new marketing campaign, because I don't know if you guys feel the same as we do, but every time we look up, yes, we look up our own podcast sometimes, mostly because we try to remember what number, what episode is, okay? Not that we're, self-centered or vain or anything like that, but have you ever noticed that when you search for Classy Ring Attire, the first thing that pops up when you start typing classy is classy ringtone?
Well, you have to type classy and ring. If you type classy, it doesn't immediately say classy ringtones.
Sure. Yes, you're correct. Yes, 100%. Thank you. So now we are starting a brand new push for new subscribers, just so we could finally become the first thing that pops up when you type in classy ring. We'll tackle classy some other year. So you, dear listener, if you're listening to us right now, I want you to hit that little share little icon that's at the most, iTunes, iPodcast, or whatever the Apple thing is. I forget what their podcast app is called, even though I have an iPhone. That's what I'm getting at. Anyway, hit the little share icon, and I want you to share our podcast to your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, anywhere that you can share something with. I want you to share it. If you want to rent one of those little skywriting airplanes, go for it. It's a huge waste of money if you do that, but I'm not going to complain. I say go for it.
And I would like to send out a special mention, and I guess some would call it an apology, to the people who this might be their first episode, and they're like, oh, huh, a wrestling podcast. We should listen to that. I like wrestling. And then, the first thing they go, oh, this is just another, keep shilling for themselves, never gets to the point, YouTube nonsense.
Okay.
Like, share, and subscribe all up front.
Smash that subscribe button. Just headbutt that subscribe button and hit the little bell.
There's a bell notification. Now pull the extra pulley notification.
Well, to those people, I will not apologize, because this is the first time we've really shilled for ourselves.
I promise you, yes, this is the first time.
We won't shill again until it's time to tackle those classies.
Anything that the classies are at the end of the year, every year.
Okay, well, our brand new subscribers would not even know what that is, okay?
So. All right, quick, before they turn it off.
Okay, anyway, wrestling. Go, share, and wrestling.
So Super Showdown happened.
Super
this week.
Showdown.
Which, according to Chris, is technically a pay-per-view now.
Okay. Two things. One, they don't have pay-per-views anymore. They're all network events. Two,
are they?
I don't
I
don't know, because they don't ever advertise buy the pay-per-view or anything.
Yeah, you can definitely get WrestleMania still.
Sure.
As a pay-per-view.
I'm pretty sure you couldn't get Super Showdown on pay-per-view, but I wouldn't consider this pay-per-view. I don't consider most shows pay-per-views anymore. We just call it pay-per-views or PPVs whenever we're texting.
Yes.
Just because it's just easier to say that rather than network event.
Okay, but I mean the still the 12 main Sundays,
mm-hmm,
is still something clearly different than Saturday at 5 a.m.
Sure. Sure.
And until WWE comes up with a official, we're calling this, and caveat, it's not a stupid one, because it's very possible that they would come up with a name for it and it would be stupid, I'm going to keep calling them pay-per-views.
Sure, fine, whatever. Me talking about, shilling for ourselves is going to turn away new audiences, but your discussion of what is and isn't a pay-per-view won't. Anyway, and two, my guideline for that was for a championship title to change hands, rules that were agreed upon,
mm-hmm,
by every member of this podcast. It was a unanimous vote. So it's not just Chris's rule or whatever. I just proposed them.
Okay.
But and you agreed them into law.
Let me walk you back through what was going on last week.
Okay. Please enlighten me. I wasn't here.
I'm sorry. Have you not seen Raw? This is how it works. I have to now show you footage from last week when we were both in the ring.
All right. Good. Fair point. Monday Night Raw me. Go ahead.
So, Chris said,
yes,
I should like edit something from last week's podcast, but we're not going to do that. That sounds like a nightmare. Chris said last week that there was a three strikes out your policy for these special event shows.
Yes.
They were one strike in.
I did say this.
And if they continued to do this, it was a waste of time, and we weren't going to cover them as, you know, pay-per-view
shows
anymore.
Yeah, if there was no real point, if they're glorified house shows, then there would be no point in us, you know, spending an entire episode on it.
My immediate initial reaction was, there are so many times we are scrambling for this. Why would you give up and a free, like,
well,
we're
mean,
definitely
okay.
going
to
be able to cover this.
That's why you put an asterisk next to it. It's like, we won't cover this asterisk unless there's something else to talk about. Like, come on. Like, we will still cover something. If we are desperate enough to have something to talk about, we will cover anything.
So I was immediately terrified, but I didn't show it. I kept cool. I kept my cool, as you can see on the podcast. Never let on. And I was like, all right, how do we justify this as a pay-per-view and suggested the title change, knowing full well that they were going to have an Australian challenging for a title
but he's
in there, and it was a title that WWE didn't care about.
Sure, sure, fine. But it... Yes. In hindsight, fine. It was obvious that...
Basically, this podcast was the beat-for-beat plot of the movie Entrapment.
Well, my thinking was... You know, it's going to be hard for them to get, you know, a huge reaction from somebody that they've had, be a heel their entire, you know, run in 205 Live. And same with the Iconics. I was surprised by
I was surprised by the Iconics.
Because both of us picked Asuka.
I'm never going to pick against Asuka.
Nor should you. But we both did. And we were completely surprised by the Iconics winning.
Yes.
And we were surprised by Buddy Murphy winning.
I was not surprised by Buddy Murphy winning.
I was.
I thought you picked Buddy Murphy.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that was just hopeful optimism that, you know, they will change something on the show.
I was pretty sure.
But I was surprised that, you know, they had a heel go over on a big event like this. Yes. Now that, you know, we saw the reaction, it was totally the right call. WWE got it right for once.
Well, and it was even like more reassuring when the Iconics won because they're heels and they're also like unpleasant heels like that. They're not the like mean ones. They're like the unpleasant and rude people.
Right,
And they do it very well. But that was like once they went over, I was like, oh, everybody on the show is going over. There's no way he doesn't walk out with this title.
I will agree with that. Now, I will, just to move forward, now that we've set a precedent, are these big, giant overseas shows, network shows, are they good forever, or will we reevaluate?
They are not good forever.
Okay.
If you want to maintain, you have to have a title change at least one every three.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's fine. So, the next opportunity for a strike would be Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And watching it this time, and honestly watching Monday afterwards, and because this has come up, we've been talking about this for almost 6 months now, of what are these, we don't know. And I really don't think WWE knows either.
I mean, it's a opportunity to show millions of people worldwide their tourism video. Like, that, I'm not even kidding. Like, that was the case in Greatest Royal Rumble, and now it's the case with Super Showdown. Like, it was just, you know, every couple hours they would show something about like visit Melbourne or or something. It's just a positive PR spin on where they live.
But they don't know how to book them as a show.
No,
and there's stuff like, just to take Triple H and Undertaker, not even as their match yet.
Yeah,
but take both of their individual matches at the first one, the Greatest Rumble. Those were both clear and true house show matches.
Yeah,
there was no build up. Yeah. They both came out, they did their match.
Yeah.
The match was over, they left. They got the cheers where there were cheers, they got the boos where there were boos. Nothing there. And there were a lot of matches like that. Here, there's a lot of like, I don't think we're going forward on anything with Cena and Bobby Lashley. A, because Cena's gone now.
Right.
And B, because Lashley is now a heel.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Quick aside. That was a double turn, right? Or, like, was just Chicago being smarky?
I am
like I fully believe that their intention was to turn Lashley heels, you know, obviously by the interview right afterwards and everything. But I don't know about the double turn.
I don't think it was a double turn in the purest classic sense, like we've seen only twice before.
Sure. And because I wasn't, that's the thing I was wrestling with. Like, I didn't know if that's what they were going for or Chicago just being smarky.
I think it was a heel turn. I think he had to come out and face a heel because he was coming out as a face.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think KO got some residual cheers because he would anyway, you know. Because he would, plus he's KO, so it's not hard to cheer for him.
But if that's the case, then you put him up against a nobody or somebody lower down on the card, like a Curt Hawkins or something, you know?
Isn't Curt Hawkins a heel?
Or
as much as he can be.
Do you really think Chicago's going to know that? Do you really think anyone's going to know that?
So my thought process is coming from KO is out now.
Yeah.
He's out for some surgery. Leg?
Knee surgery. It was
lower half.
It seems to be pretty, not, I don't want to say minor, but, you know, less really intensive.
Right. And this was done to write him off.
Yeah.
Which doesn't feel like that can be part of a double turn. And part of this is, like, for the longest time, there was one true double turn. There was Bret Hart and Stone Cold.
Sure.
And that was a pure magic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pulled it off again years later.
With Del Rio.
Del Rio and Ziggler.
Yeah.
And part of it is, like, I feel kind of gross being like, there is this, like,
Bret Hart
and Stone Cold, two of the toppest of the top tiers of their generation, both, you know, Hall of Fame performers. If they made a super elite exclusive Hall of Fame, they would still both make it into that.
Yes, 100%.
And then there's like, oh, and also Dolph Ziggler and Del Rio.
Well, that one was still like, it was a very hard to watch, emotional type match.
Well, and like the first one was at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And the second one was at Backlash?
Payback. I want to say Payback, yeah.
And so, like, not to take anything away from those guys, because they put on an amazing match. They pulled off a beautiful double turn.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels weird that those are the two. That you have this, like, you know, iconic moment of the ages, and you have this thing that on paper just sounds nonsensical.
Yeah.
So part of it is being protective of the heel turn, of the double turn, as this rarefied moment in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because KO is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So when he comes back, there is a fair shot he's going to get return pop.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That has a weird kind of asterisk on it of like, they made a double turn, but it really helped that KO was gone for 4 months. And so he got a boost of return pop.
Sure.
And so it doesn't feel.
I'm just saying, like, that it would, you know, it would be the path of least resistance to him come back as a face using whatever momentum he already had leaving.
Right.
And on top of the momentum that he's going to have just returning.
I will say, like, I do think he's going to come back as a face.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, obviously, Bobby Lashley turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
This just doesn't feel as pure.
No, yeah.
Because if it's a double turn, it's a double turn with a very big asterisk on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't, and this isn't like, oh, they didn't do it right, or they tried and failed, or they should have been going for a double turn. None of that. Like, I think they did a fine job. I think the match did what it was supposed to do. It got over. But, I mean, you have...
It just felt more low-key than the other ones, you know what I mean?
And you have heels that wrestle as a face for a night. Like, CM Punk wrestled as a face from time to time because the crowd demanded it.
Sure.
Like, he came out as a heel, the crowd wasn't having it, and, like, if he was with the right person in the ring, I was like, well, I guess I'm the face and you're the heel in this match. And then we're right back to it the next night.
Yeah.
And just because that happens for that one match in front of that one crowd...
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily make it a double turn.
No. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just... It also is, you know, the fact that it's just having a Monday Night Raw episode, you know? Like a WrestleMania or even a Payback just a Monday Night Raw, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I think it's interesting. I've been clamoring for Lashley to
turn heel or do something.
Yeah, do something.
And it's much easier for Leo Rush to be the, you know, loud, obnoxious manager.
He, like, I will say there's an interesting, like, props, I guess, for being a successful face, loud, obnoxious manager. Like,
I mean, it was just so new. It was still a little early to, you know, really consider it, whether it was, you know, successful or failure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought it was a good pairing.
It was definitely like, yeah. That's going to get old fast.
Yeah. I mean, Lashley just desperately needed a manager, period.
Mm-hmm.
And Leo Rush, I haven't seen anything to hate, even though, you know, we were supposed to hate what he, you know, did. And he was clearly obnoxious and getting everyone's nerves during the match. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he did his job. I don't know. I'm interested to see where they go from here.
Yeah.
So back to Super Showdown, I guess.
Yes, back to Super Showdown. I'm trying to think what all matches are worth talking about.
Well, I mean, if you want to get it a change of tone as far as, like, from Greatest Royal Rumble really just being a glorified
house
show, and then this one feeling like a pay-per-view, I will say AJ and Samoa Joe felt like the end of a feud on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially, like, that next, you know, last night on SmackDown, like, they just moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe, he was doing the whole, like, injury angle, and AJ's moving on to his next feud.
Yeah.
You know?
Feels weird that we got through all this and Joe was never champion.
It does.
Like not even for a little bit. Not even, like, he got it and AJ had to chase him for a month or two to get it back.
Yeah. Just, no. Yeah, I didn't think WWE was ready for him. Like, we could see, like, you know, if anyone was going to beat him for it, it would mm-hmm. probably be Joe. But I for some reason, I had this feeling that just WWE wasn't quite ready.
So, I guess my next question is, AJ is not too far away from CM Punk's record. Like, he's definitely got a right. ways to go, mm-hmm. but... I mean, I could conceivably see 2018, the calendar year, being a complete...
Yeah, I could too, yeah.
And
we're this close, yeah.
Like he doesn't even have to hold it till Mania to have passed CM Punk's 435
days.
Yeah,
he's got to get through Crown Jewel, and if they do Survivor Series anything like they did last year, then he's, you know, got until December without mm-hmm. without another title defense. Yeah, I could see it happening, and, you know, I think everybody could, you know,
I mean,
get behind it, and everyone could, you know, make, you know, believe in it. But if Samoa Joe didn't beat him for it, who would?
Daniel Bryan?
I don't think so. I don't think Daniel Bryan beats AJ for it, not as two faces.
Okay. Do you have an answer to this?
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's 100% Miz.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. That's like the heel. Like, that's the heel pops of all heel pops.
Are you putting the WWE Championship on the Pipe Dream Miz and Daniel Bryan WrestleMania match?
It wouldn't hurt.
It would not hurt.
Have that be WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
And finally get, like, the, like, you know, essential Miz and Daniel Bryan match, because I still don't think they've done it.
They've not done it yet. No,
it's still out there, because mm-hmm. that roll up win not it.
And that almost, like,
a guarantee to me that they are not done.
So somebody, there's a interview floating around on YouTube
mm-hmm.
From right before Daniel Bryan came back, or mm-hmm. maybe he had announced he'd come back, but it was between that and WrestleMania, so he hadn't wrestled yet.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but somebody basically asked him, hey, what is, you know, the chances of you and Miz taking this all the way and doing mm-hmm. taking it to WrestleMania? And you know, quick armchair booked.
Yep.
You know,
arm book chair.
here we are from WrestleMania, da da da, and he takes it here. And like, you know, mm-hmm. basically the outline that we've all been talking about.
Sure.
And Daniel Bryan said something effective like, do you really trust WWE to be able to have the patience or the, you know, foresight yeah. to pull this off.
Yeah.
Which is like this, oh, that's so true. It's soul-crushing feeling to
sure,
it.
Sure. But that's probably the same reason that we got Miz and Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam and not mm-hmm. WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know?
But, and so once he said that, I've been trying to, like, I'm tapering my expectations. for this clearly obvious Miz and Daniel Bryan match that should be happening at WrestleMania. It makes so much sense, but it almost makes too much sense, so they're not going to do it. So, like, I'm not holding out for it. I'm not waiting for it. But then they keep doing things like this where I'm like, that is clearly a match so that you can save the real match for WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah. Like, they don't have...
I'm not blind and crazy
No,
here.
You're not. It was A, evident that they are not done between each other, and B, we hadn't seen the essential Miz and Daniel Bryan match yet. I could see this happening, like, you know, obviously AJ versus Daniel Bryan in Saudi Arabia. I see Miz doing something to where some DQ happens, AJ escapes with the title, but, you know, everyone's mad at Miz, and so do they still do December for TLC, or did didn't they already do it?
No, they talked about moving it, and then I think they've moved it back, because I think their latest, like, fall on the WWE Network thing has
TLC.
TLC as a December, as happening in December.
It's Extreme Rules that's already happened. That's the
yes.
one. Okay. I could see TLC, like, being some, like, triple threat ladder match
yep,
or something.
That's where I was going. Triple threat ladder match, and Daniel Bryan wins that, or not, or Miz wins that. Yeah.
Miz wins, because you have to have Miz being the champion going into WrestleMania in April.
Yeah.
And then you could finally have Daniel Bryan win that Royal Rumble that everyone's been itching for.
Yeah, you have Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble. You get a video package of Monster / Hate Me Now.
Yeah. Yeah. You got, like, the essential, like, video package of their feud.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a great way to go.
It would be a great way to go. And it seems too good to be true. They would never, ever be able to pull this off. But, like, we're getting close, right?
I feel like we're stumbling on something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not this is actually WWE's plan, which probably isn't, because this is way too... let's be honest. This is way too far ahead for that for WWE to even think about. It shouldn't be too far ahead for them to be thinking about, but we know how they operate, and...
Okay,
yeah.
I think they're thinking about it, but that's very different than planning for it.
Sure, they have not planned for WrestleMania beyond whatever Roman's doing. They have... Now, they thought what Roman's doing, like, right after last year's WrestleMania ended.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
I would say... So... But they've also... Somebody has brought up at some point, like, hey, AJ's at this number of days. 435 is the breaking point.
Yeah.
Are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like,
yeah.
it feels possible. Like, we're within, you know, spitting distance of that. And so I could see it happening. Just as one more, like, let's keep scrubbing CM Punk out of the...
Sure. I mean, because everyone wanted to, like, you know, be like, nah, Brock Lesnar didn't break any sort of record.
Like, oh, yeah, and like I said...
But they were like, well, yeah, it's a different title. So now they can, you know...
I mean, this is... And I'll say, if AJ Styles does it, it was the same title, and it's been defended at the workman rate that CM Punk defended 100%. It.
Yeah, then
so
I'm 100% willing to get behind that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see. Is there anything from Super Showdown that we haven't covered that we want to talk about?
I mean, we have to talk about Triple H and Undertaker.
Do we?
I really liked that match. Did you not like it?
There was some real slow parts.
Okay,
to
so it was a very slow match, and it was a very
not quite as bad.
It was very Triple H's.
Yeah.
Taking the paces in the match. He was guiding the match and stepping it through.
It wasn't quite as bad, at least. I mean, not that I haven't watched it in a while, but it didn't seem quite as bad as WrestleMania 27 with their match.
It was not as bad.
That
as
That one felt 27. Really sluggish.
Yeah, and I will say they had back to back. I mean, a year apart, but they had back to back a instant classic, you know, top five match of the year match, and quite like one of the Undertaker's worst WrestleMania appearances in his 21-1.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, I don't know what old Triple H and Undertaker can actually do. Mm-hmm. I've only seen the extremes.
Yeah.
And this felt strongly in the middle.
Yeah.
But I would say headed towards the good side. And part of it was just, it was really... they are both really good storytellers in the ring.
Yeah.
And they were able to convey a lot of emotion. They were able to put out the beats of the story, even though nobody did anything amazing. There was the greatest hit spots.
Mm-hmm.
It was Triple H, you know, carrying this match as far as who's in charge of the pacing and the mm-hmm. positioning and everything. Somebody's got to tell Shawn Michaels to stop wearing whatever he's wearing under his hat, because his hat keeps coming off and he keeps looking so doofy.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, his hat was stayed on for a lot of it. Like, I was impressed there for a while.
It does, but it comes off and then he's still got so much more to do. And he needs to, like, and like, if he wants to do that because, like, it feels good or that he likes that look of the black underneath the hat. But, like, once the hat comes off, the whole thing's got to come off. Because he looks fine, you know, just with the bald or the shaved or whatever you want to call it.
We don't know. We've never seen him with just the bald.
There was a picture of him, like, just a picture a while back when somebody was posted on Squared Circle or whatever, like, oh, Shawn Michaels has cut off all his hair.
Well, he cut his hair, but he wasn't bald. We haven't seen him just bald.
Okay,
I'm just
fine.
Saying.
Okay, fine.
Because I remember that because, you know, that was, like, right before the Hall of Fame and everyone was making a huge deal out of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's okay.
He looks doofy with the little halo
sure.
thing.
Sure. Yeah. No, it was very much a, you know, holding on to my youth kind of look.
Yeah.
Which, that just exemplifies everything about, like, this whole DX reunion thing. It really just DX from, like, 2005 on, anytime it's brought up.
Yeah. So the ending of this match,
mm-hmm.
and obviously going forward into a tag team
yep.
between these guys
mm-hmm.
and those guys, I don't care for this.
No, I don't. Again, WWE has found some miraculous way for me, a lifelong diehard Shawn Michaels fan.
Mm-hmm.
To not care that Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement.
Well,
because I'm old enough to be like, yep, money grab.
Yes.
So all those years that he had respect for, how he went out and all that stuff, as soon as they gave him a... We've talked about this a lot. But still.
And there's a lot of, like, sitting there like, okay, so he's always said he's not going to come back out of respect for The Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
And I guess in kayfabe, he doesn't respect The Undertaker anymore.
No.
So
they,
like,
get away with all the respect stuff.
Okay, technically, like, we're still staying
Unless
true to the character.
Maybe they were standing next to each other and someone wrote, like, you know, on a piece of paper how much Shawn would make if he got in the ring and handed it to him and he showed it to Undertaker and be like, yeah, nah, you're stupid to not take that. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm just saying, in kayfabe, Shawn Michaels is mad at The Undertaker now. So, like, he doesn't have to respect him. He's doing something.
But now he's mad enough to come out of retirement?
But it's against The Undertaker. He's doing something that is specifically, according to him, for years and years, is being disrespectful to The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
But now he in character wants to be disrespectful to The Undertaker.
Right.
So, like,
but
at least it makes
he,
sense in a weird way.
Right. But now he wants, he's okay with disrespecting The Undertaker after the attack at the end of Super Showdown. Remember when, you know, he was attacked by Kane and Undertaker like 2 weeks ago? He didn't come out of retirement then.
Okay, which brings me to my next point. So we're going to have a tag team match between these guys and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be that different than the technically a singles match that we had this time?
No, especially when they say there was no DQ or
no
holds bar or whatever. Yeah, no, it ain't going to be, unless they specifically say, like, it's going to be a tornado tag match. I'm like, yeah, that's what we just had, except now the Kane or Shawn Michaels can be pinned.
Yes.
That's the only difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the exact same match.
And Shawn Michaels is going to be wearing ring gear.
Yes.
Or wearing his cowboy boots and jeans. Who cares at this point?
I don't know. Like, I don't even know if he's going to wear ring gear. Because he might, like, all they need is one promo of, like, man, I'm retired from wrestling, but this isn't a match. It's a fight.
Okay, fair enough. But remember that time when he just showed up at WrestleMania 32 in Dallas with Mick Foley and Stone Cold Steve Austin? Who was full on in ring gear for that little, like, quick, like, Like, they came out to go up against the League or whatever they were called.
It was League of Nations, wasn't it? I just assumed it was New Day.
Well, they came out to help New Day.
Yes.
To come to the aid.
And then they beat up New Day because Stone Cold stunners everybody.
But you had all these, you know, legends seeing all this go down, and then all of a sudden, oh, we got to help these guys. And everyone comes out, like, looking like, oh, I'm just sitting in the back, and, like, we got to help, especially McFoley, because that's how McFoley always looks.
Yeah.
And then Shawn Michaels comes out in ring gear. He's like, I've been retired for, like, I think it was, like, 6 years at that point.
But I had it in my bag.
But I was just dressed like this.
We'd have come out sooner if I could get dressed faster.
Right? So he's going to have, if he didn't have ring gear then, he's had, what, like, a month head notice now? He's going to have ring gear on.
That is a solid point. I will double down on the ring gear if we have the This Isn't a Match, It's a Fight promo.
Right.
At some point between now and then.
Yeah.
But yes, you make a very strong point about the ring
gear. I do like the fact that it was probably just a rib on Shawn Michaels, because he found out, like, later, and he's like, I was told that I had to wear ring gear. Like, why is it still cold? And Stone Cold's like, I was never going to wear ring gear. And again, Mick Foley's like, I just always wear this.
Did the end of this match, and I will say especially before the Brothers of Destruction, turned on them, did this not just reek of Triple H versus Sting from WrestleMania 31?
So you're saying that was a good match?
That was an entertaining match to watch at
the time. Yeah, because this is 100% that in that same vein.
Because in the exact same vein, that was a fun match as long as I thought Sting was going to win.
Okay.
As long as there's 1,000%, there's no way Sting's not going to win this match. He's coming here. This is honoring. 100% guarantee Sting is winning this match.
And we thought it was probably going to be his only match. Yeah.
Yes. This is a crazy delight. Like, for better or for worse, it makes no sense why the NWO would come out and help out Sting.
Yeah.
But, this is so much fun watching all these cameos.
Yeah.
Like,
to the extent that everyone that was going to come to the aid of these two guys was already at the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, yeah, it did feel very Triple H and Sting-ish.
Yeah,
that
match,
to it.
Just like that one, though, a complete 180. The second is like, oh, Triple H is winning. Like, ground to a halt of the enjoyment of this.
Did you just do an impression of a Triple H promo? Triple H is going to win.
It was the noise of the brakes on the ground into the halt of the hype train.
That too. Yeah.
But yeah, like, I was enjoying it, like, more than I thought I would. And part of it was because I was, like, you know, grinding my teeth and bearing it through. But I was like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
You still see two people who are incredibly good. Even if they're not at the top of their game anymore, they're better than 98% of the entire population at being able to tell compelling stories and convey and invoke emotion
in
the ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that.
And then as soon as, like, oh, this is just enough, like, Triple H is going to win this. And it just, it eats me up. Like, why should he be winning this?
Yeah, I'll agree with that. How did you feel about Shield versus not the Shield? I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
It felt like a big old pile of nothing. Like, it was the most sugary cereal that you could possibly. It's going to do nothing for you nutritionally, but it tasted good.
They did it right.
Yeah.
But I'm so stressed out about doing it wrong, but with the Roman situation, that I almost feel like I can't enjoy the Shield anymore. Because I'm like, this is technically right, but are they going to, like, build on the fact that Dean did anything, or is it just all in service to the Roman? And it's like, to take your cereal example, let's say you get that big bowl of excellent sugary cereal and you love it.
It's a great podcast.
And you see a giant razor right there. And you pull that razor out. And so that razor is no longer an issue.
Right.
So you can enjoy the cereal. But there was already one razor in that cereal.
How much effort would it take to put two of them in there? Yeah.
And you have to eat that cereal so carefully and so slowly to make sure there's not a razor in it.
I mean, that would have to be a pretty small razor. But I understand what you're saying.
But it's ruined the cereal.
Yeah, no, 100%. You see one hair in your food at a restaurant, and then you just have to take it, like, the people that just have to be like, it's probably mine. I'll just, whatever. But yeah, no, this
that's why I cranked the intensity up to Razor.
Sure, 100%. Yeah, I understand that. Like, Roman's presence ruins everything.
Roman Reigns is the Razor in your cereal.
Razor Reigns. Okay, I'm sorry.
Razor Roman.
I was trying.
That's it. Razor Roman.
Razor Roman. Yeah,
it's hard, isn't it?
Because you could just say Razor Roman, but that's Razor Ramon with a weird inflection.
So I'm trying to think what else. Okay, so the things that made it feel like a pay-per-view were honestly title change. The AJ Styles Samoa Joe match, like you said, felt like a pay-per-view match, and
getting through the SmackDown Women's Championship match without having Charlotte actually eat a pin.
That's what I was gonna say. Okay, so
that felt very pay-per-view. She's like, oh, okay, we want to get through this pay-per-view with a Charlotte match, but we don't want Charlotte to lose, but we don't want her to win the championship.
Right.
So we have to come up with some way. Yeah.
So they are doing all of the like building up to, you know, they are building this feud one more stipulation on a match at a time. So like they had a match and she left. So it's like, okay, we'll have the same match. But if Becky does that again, she's disqualified. So it's a double count out.
Yeah.
So like now we have to have a false count anywhere match where like they both can't fight. Now we have to have like an I quit. Like, so.
Well, their escalation is it was announced on SmackDown. You know, it's got to be a last woman standing match now. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
Okay. So we all know WWE is really going to want to end the show on Ronda at Evolution.
Yes.
And especially with a Bella involved, because God forbid they don't cater to a Bella. Not that I'm bitter. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, those forces combined, WWE just can't freaking help themselves.
Yeah.
But Charlotte and Becky should end that
show. It should absolutely 100%. 100% end the show.
Okay, WWE, if you want me to take your efforts to progressing women's wrestling to the forefront of your company, if you want me to take your effort seriously, then you need to have this at the end of your show.
Yes.
100%.
It.
If anything else ends that show, I will just do nothing but point out how you're doing the show right before you go right back to Saudi Arabia to send mixed signals.
Well, and it's so frustrating. It's like, so I know you want to end it on Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
But you're not even like trying with her match.
No.
Like, you could have picked anybody. Or you could have started this a month and a half ago when we actually, you know, found out about this and you didn't shut up about it for...
This is the only time that they're like, okay, well, let's just forget about this whole storyline that we've been pushing about Natty being your best friend. Like, let's just push that out of the way. Now your best friend's the Bellas, okay? Just for, like, the purposes that we just thought of, like, for, like, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's not even trying.
Yeah. Which frustrating.
Makes me feel like they're pushing Ronda as the female Roman Reigns, which is interesting because we really thought Charlotte was for the longest time and still might be.
And well, what's interesting is watching the SmackDown episode and just sitting there being like, well, they're cheering for Becky. Like,
yeah.
There was a little bit of like, we're cheering back and forth. No, they're just cheering for Becky.
Yeah, 100%.
Charlotte winning that title is going to elicit boos.
Yeah. Especially now on Ride Along when they FaceTime with Rick. Because the episode of Ride Along that came on right after Raw this week was with Becky and Charlotte, like obviously before the split.
Yes.
So they're like best friends. And it was like one of these things like, well, we can end the show. Like, what if we just end the show with like the two of us going against each other? And they're just like, well, maybe that'll happen. And Becky's just like looking around and like you hear like a...
The cricket chirp. No, because Becky was saying... Oh, that'll be in the history books.
Yeah.
The first women's pay-per-view main evented by, you know, Charlotte and Becky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Charlotte was like, oh, will we be tag teaming or like face? And Becky was like, well, what happens, happens.
It was fantastic. But no, like, she'll really get heat with them because, you know, you had Ric Flair on the phone just bad-mouthing Long Island. He hates it there, apparently.
So, but you're gonna get booze.
Yeah.
And like, it's not hard to lean into those. Like, let's
no.
That would be, I mean, it wouldn't even be a double heel turn, or really a single heel turn. Mm-hmm. Like, just let her, you know, boo me, boo you, I'm the queen kind of
also,
thing.
Also, just a quick, just, you know, notes from SmackDown. They announced how the match was going, or no, they didn't even announce it yet. The part where Charlotte speared Becky Lynch through the LED board and everything, didn't feel like way back. I think it was Jericho and Rhino. I know Rhino was involved in somehow. And, like, you know, the old SmackDown had, like, little ovals. And, they had, like, and Rhino just, like, gored Jericho through it and, like, destroyed the set. And the next week you had, like, I believe it was the infamous, like, fist set.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, like, their way of, like, oh, that set's ruined.
We gotta make a new set.
Next week is SmackDown 1000.
So you think they're gonna,
I mean,
debut a new set? Because,
I mean, yes.
Charlotte and Becky destroyed the set.
A strong reach that, you know, new set, even bigger reach. Bring back the fist, bro. Bring back the fist. Everyone was clamoring for it at the brand split.
That's the kind of thing where you're watching, you're like, that belt should spin again.
No.
Like, I miss the spinner belt.
No one feels that way except for you.
Who feels that way about the fist?
Everyone, apparently. Everyone wants the fist back. That was the whole reason, like, if you watch, like, the graphic for, like, SmackDown whenever they did the brand split, if you look closely, like, there's a little blue, like, fiery thing just going across the screen. Like, if you look close, it's a fist. It's like, here it is. Be happy now.
If you say so. I think
everyone is clamoring for the fist.
I think it's an ironic clamor.
Sure, maybe. But everyone's clamoring for the fist, unironically or ironically, I don't care. And that's going to be a weird audio clip for someone to single out.
Much like the spinning belt. An ironic clamoring, if you will.
I think people are clamoring for the fist. I keep saying, I know. I need to stop.
What else happened this week? I mean,
the World Cup. They started doing the qualifying.
And I think
apparently, if you're John Cena, you don't have to qualify because you're John Cena. You're already annoyed with it.
It's weird that John Cena has gotten on the mic at both this and the Greatest Rumble to, like, thank them and being like, I had to be here in this beautiful place on this beautiful night. And I'm always here. And I'm like, I'm so okay with you being a part-timer.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Like, but we don't need, like, a heartfelt, like, mic time.
It's like, I don't expect you to be, I don't expect you to be here full time. I would love to see you more. I'd love to see you around. I'd love to see you in.
Speak for yourself, but go on.
I would love to see you in feuds that are more than like, I'm back in John Cena.
Sure,
like,
yes.
And you need to be around for longer for that. Like, I'm not saying like, I want my, you know, Cena moment at 10 o'clock every week like we used to have.
Yeah.
But that this like, okay, I'd like to see you do this. I'd like to see you. But I'm not expecting it.
Well, now you can see him for potentially three matches in one night.
I don't want matches. I want storylines.
Sure.
But I'm not expecting it. You're a busy man. You got a lot of movies. You're a hard worker. Like, you're following in The Rock's footsteps. The Rock made some very clear footsteps to a very big pile of success. Like, they are not bad footsteps to follow in. So if you come back and you're like, hey, I just had to come, you know, come back for this because it's WrestleMania. You know I got to be here for WrestleMania. I'm like, you do got to be here for WrestleMania. Good, we're on the same page. But to, like, really lean into these, like, I am WWE first and WWE second, and I'm always WWE and 100%. And I'm like, is this because you made a stink about The Rock 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Like,
it's been 8 years.
I mean, I'm cool, man.
Yeah.
You just do what you got to do. Come back. Come see us when you can.
Yeah.
But we're cool.
Yeah. You don't have to. Yeah. I can be on board with that. Okay. So, 8-man small tournament for Crown Jewel, which is I can get behind that because, like, Greatest Royal Rumble had a gimmick. You know, like, it was a 50-man Royal Rumble, like, never before. Probably should never do it again. But there it is. Like, that's the thing. I'm like, there's going to be some sort of hook for Crown Jewel. Like, I guess you can say that, you know, with Shawn Michaels coming back, like, that could be a hook.
Yeah.
But I
get where they're going from. I think Braun Strowman should have to be a contender, should be an automatic contender, and have to defend
yeah.
the weird green belt.
I fully agree.
100%. I think it should be an exclusively weird, overblown Saudi Arabia gimmick belt.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea because I don't soccer. Where is the next World Cup?
I don't know. You'll have to ask John.
Because I feel like it's in the Middle East.
It might be.
Yeah, that might be. They're playing into that, even though, again, we're Americans. Like, we don't care.
I think what it is, largely, and part of the reason where we feel like we're in this weird middle ground between pay-per-view and house show is because we are going so long without any pay-per-view event for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because October is Evolution, is the all-women's pay-per-view, we're going a huge amount of time between Hell in a Cell and Survivor Series.
Right.
And so they have to have story build-up to something, which is this Super Showdown slash Crown Jewel kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's why the last time ever Taker and Triple H thing has plot going on, has tune in next week to see the next installment of plot in this storyline. And the tournament's there for the same reason, is like, oh, we have slots now. So, you know, tune in each week to see who ends up in the slots for this.
Yeah, that helps, you know, kind of kill time between now and then. Amy, honestly, it gives something for like all the men to do while we're building up towards Evolution.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for a time when WWE is only promoting one show at a time. Like, dear Lord, like, ever since, what, SummerSlam? Like, it's just been, like, at least two shows going on at the same time, sometimes three, where they're just promoting everything. Like, oh, this match is happening then, but first, they have this match going on there. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I'm just ready for them to concentrate on one thing. Like, I thought when they would end the brand split pay-per-views that, like, all right, we're going to concentrate on one pay-per-view. And like, nope, we're going to concentrate on even more.
Well, it's interesting that we had the Greatest Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
As a outside of the U.S. mega event.
Right.
And then nothing until Super Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're so closely having Crown Jewel.
Yeah, that does seem
And maybe it's like we got the time slot when we could get the time
and
slot.
It also might be a weather situation.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, with Middle East being what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and Australia, they're backwards.
Well, and so the show overblown is a result of these two, you know, mega shows being at the, you know, relatively same point in the calendar year, the same quarter, I guess. Because if you think, oh, they should have four of these, then they should have one every 3 months, and now we're having two in back-to-back months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's what it is, and then we'll see. Like, they're not going to have anything that gets in the way of WrestleMania.
No.
I don't think.
No, although Greatest Royal Rumble was trying.
It was bumping up, right up against it.
That's what felt the weirdest about Greatest Royal Rumble, just how close it was to WrestleMania.
Well, because there you don't ever advertise anything post-WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the end of the world.
They don't even talk about the next pay-per-view until, like, during the pay-per-view. They're like, all right, well, the next month is, you know, Extreme Rules or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything else you super want to cover this week?
I think I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
We might start live tweeting Wednesdays now that they got a nice block of wrestling.
Yep.
But just do live tweet wrestling. You should live tweet wrestling with us.
Well, absolutely, 100%. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that all over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get your friends to follow the podcast. So Classy Ring Autofill will have attire and not tones.
Yes.
Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That helps out as far as iTunes metrics.
It would help
goes.
Us beat out those classy ringtones. And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
And also, we have Extra Life coming up. It's going to be the second weekend of November. I believe that's November 10th. It is going to be a 24-hour fundraising event. We are going to be streaming at different points in time during the day. We won't be streaming the full 24 hours. Like, we just don't have...
that kind of stamina to play video games. But the fundraising event will happen the entire 24 hours. We will be sending out more information on where you can donate, where all these donations are going to Duke Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we've been raising money for all year. I believe we are around the 330 mark of our $500 goal for the year. So we're very close. And this is going to probably, this will be our last streaming event of the year. So I'd really like to hit that mark at this point. So just stay tuned. We'll start saying stuff on Facebook, on Twitter, and everything. I think we're going to do a Facebook event like we did.
Yes, we'll do a Facebook event. We will also definitely stream wrassling related video games since we have Classroom Interactive.
Sure, yeah.
So, and we'll get you like times for that. Like, hey, we're going to stream this and this. So that if you want to watch the specific wrestling related ones.
Fire Pro Wrestling is definitely on the docket. I'm still going back and forth on whether or not I want the new WWE, but we will come up with something.
we'll come up with something.
And if there's any other games you want us to kind of play, especially if it's games that we already have,
that'd be great.
Just, let us know and we'll keep you all informed as we go.
All right. As always, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.